This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
Right now, January 11, 2023. Hope everybody's doing well. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg with you until 7 o'clock. Some wise old sports veteran once told me, you use the phrase house is money a lot. He goes, there is no such thing. And I said, why? I said, when a team's not expected to be somewhere, you know, whatever happens, they're playing with the house's money. He goes, you never play with the house's money. When you get there, you expect to win. And if you lose, you should be disappointed. And it's kind of changed my opinion about house's money, because I've heard that phrase a lot this year or this week about the Giants against the Vikings. Nobody expected the Giants to make the playoffs. They're in. Well, now they're playing with the house's money. No, they're not. Very important people in football expect the Giants to beat the Vikings. So if they lose the game, I don't think you can say, oh, it's all right, they played with house's money.
It depends on how you define house's money. Because I can look at it and say, well, it's house's money because even if the Giants lost to the Vikings, they're still going to look at it as a successful season. Daboll is still going to get praised. Still is going to be the front runner for coach of the year. There'll still be a positive vibe around the Giants. It's not house's money for the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy might lose his job if they lose to the Buccaneers. It's not house's money for Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles may lose his job if they lose to the Dallas Cowboys. Right? Certainly not house's money for the Buffalo Bills. They've got what looks to be a walkover against Miami. It's house money for the Dolphins. They might have their third-string quarterback playing against the best team in football, the Buffalo Bills.
That's a fair point.
So there's
they can say they're expecting to win. Yeah. The Dolphins are not expecting
to win. But the Dolphins are different than the Giants.
Yes.
I mean, the Giants have their third-string the Dolphins have their third-string quarterback. The Giants are healthier than when they lost with a long field goal to the Vikings a couple of weeks ago. They're supposed to win this game.
I get that, but I'm sure the Dolphin players in the room don't want to hear about house's money either. They're going to be just as disappointed if they lose the game. I think there's certain degrees. Yes, you can't go in and not be disappointed if the Giants lose. Your first instinct, if the Giants lose on Sunday, so they're starting at 4:40. So when that game's over at 8 o'clock, you're not going to turn the TV off and go, wow, that was a fun season. Ah, shucks, we lost. No, that can't be your knee-jerk reaction. Your knee-jerk reaction should be disappointed that they lost that game. But in the summertime, sitting on the beach by the pool, you'll look back at the season fondly and say, boy, that was fun to unexpectedly make the playoffs. But in the moment, you should be red hot.
So I have a lot of feelings about this. I might need the next 30 or 40 minutes.
Well, you know what?
You want to sponsor it? It's going to be that good. Sponsor it.
It's the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jack Pocket.
I almost feel like I should stand for this. Like there should be some sort of attention given.
So if I was a Giants fan, which I most certainly am not.
You are not. You're a commie fan.
If I was a Giant fan, I would absolutely have the attitude of we should win this game.
Right.
Like, replace the Giants with the Commies playing the Vikings. I'm going, we're going to go out there. We're going to win. Let's get to the second round. As an outsider who watches this team week to week, I'm almost starting to feel the tide go too far the other direction. Giants fans literally do expect a win. I wouldn't completely treat the Vikings like a dog. Let me just say that. You're not doing it. But I am hearing a lot of, they're a better team. The Vikings aren't even good. They're so overrated. Right. Are the Vikings really overrated? Everyone's been saying they have a bad point differential. They've had terrible moments, terrible losses. I hear a lot of criticism of the Vikings. Don't forget, though, if you mess around with them in the wrong moment, they can be up 21-0 in a blink.
Or the other way. If you're going to beat the Vikings, beat them soundly because they win close games. So if you're within a field goal either way in the fourth quarter, it's kind of leaning towards they'll find a way to win the game because that's the positive spin on their point differential is they get blown out or they win really close games. And the majority of their 13 wins were all within a score. So they know how to win that. So they've got that going for them. But, you know, listen, Rex Ryan's no Giant fan. He guaranteed the win.
Well, you respect Mike Tannenbaum, right?
I do. Years. I consider him a friend.
He doesn't even like
but
you.
But that doesn't matter.
Okay, so you can be friends.
I didn't say we're friends.
Well,
did you hear
second.
Me say we're friends?
So you can say I consider myself a friend with somebody, and somebody could hate
yes.
your guts.
Well, that's why you phrase it that way.
How could you be friends with somebody who doesn't like you?
Because it's all language. You're a master of words, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a master of the English language. Peter, join this. If I'm friends with somebody
right.
equally, I'll yeah. say, we're friends.
Right.
When I'm not sure how the other person feels, I'll phrase it as,
I consider
him a friend.
I like
That's
that.
Admitting that I can't tell you how the other person
he's right.
feels.
He's right.
Interesting.
That is right.
But why would you consider yourself a friend of somebody who hates your guts?
Well, first of all, I don't
That's
think
just, how could that be true?
I'm not saying, guts. But I'm just saying, Tannenbaum does not think of Don. Like, when the name Don LaGreca comes up, Tannenbaum's having a drink at a bar. He doesn't finally go, oh, that's my friend. Like, if somebody brought up Don to me, I think, well, Don, that's my good friend
right.
Don. Mike has no thought about
that. No, I think he goes, oh, yeah, I like Don LaGreca.
Yeah, I don't think he hates me.
For Mike, like, Don LaGreca is like passing wind in a tunnel.
But I could text him right now. He'll respond.
I don't think he will. Try.
All right. Well, but it's got to be something like, what do you want? Like a heart emoji?
Friend. Are you a friend?
No.
Here is Mike Tannenbaum about he was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg, and he thinks the Giants are going to win.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. We were on Max Kellerman's show, This Just In, yesterday, and they were all asking for the upset of the week, and it was unanimous. You know, Brian Daboll will be coaching his 31st playoff game this weekend. He's 23-7 in NFL playoff games. That's unbelievable. 23-7 in playoff games. They're the better football team. They're the more complete team. They barely lost the last time they were up there, and I expect them to win. I think this is one of these situations, guys. If they play 10 times, the Giants win at least 6 or 7 of those 10.
Wow.
I don't think Minnesota has a good defense. I don't think they could close out games, and I fully expect the Giants to win.
Okay. I'd like to say something.
Okay.
Come back to me.
All right, I'm going to look right at you when I say this.
Okay.
I don't consider Tannenbaum a friend, and I don't understand how you could be that certain about the Giants being the Vikings didn't win 13 games by accident.
That's where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And listen, I know you probably won't believe this, Giants fans, because right now you hate me. You're still mad at the things I've said about the commies from weeks ago. I'd be happy for the Giants to win. I mean, I'll probably be rooting for the Vikings, of course. I love Kirk Cousins. But I'd be happy for Giants fans to see them go on a run here. And I think it's possible. But to act as if, like, oh, of course. I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware. Justin Jefferson's a problem. This team is very capable offensively. Very capable.
Well, the way the Giants and the way a lot of teams got to Cousins early, and Wink Martindale loves to blitz, all right, was they would blitz Cousins. And his numbers, all quarterback numbers, were terrible when they blitzed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're great. Over the last five games, they've gone up so much when being blitzed. And you know why? Because the guy you just mentioned, Justin Jefferson, he has his greatest numbers when a team blitzes.
Wow.
Because you put him into a one-on-one situation. Quarterback gets rid of the ball quickly, he's going to make a catch.
Do the Giants have a good one-on-one solution for Justin Jefferson?
Well, they didn't have Jackson in the first meeting, and
right.
they almost won. So they're healthier. They didn't have...
Is he 100%?
They say he is.
Yeah, he's been back. Yeah, so they get a couple of guys back in the secondary, and they almost won that game. They should have gone to overtime. But listen, that's what you said. This is a good offense. They were able to take advantage of the time they had left in the game, kick the 59-yard field goal to win. That's what everybody's looking at. The Giants are healthier, and they almost won when they were depleted. And Minnesota, they have an occasion of putting up that stinker. I like the Giants as opposed to having to go to San Francisco, which would have been the alternative. But I would not be shocked either way here.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I don't think anybody should say with certitude, like Mike Tannenbaum
and
Rex Ryan,
no, they're
that it's a foregone conclusion.
I'm leaning toward taking the Vikings. I don't know if I'll take that game.
Me too.
But if I take that game, I think I'm taking the Vikings.
Me too. I like the Vikings at home. Listen.
It does worry me one thing, though. The game's at 4:30. It's kind of nighttime then. You know Kirk with nighttime.
Didn't Kirk exercise that once or twice this year?
I think he did.
He did.
I think he did.
Well, he must have done it by what? 1 point? 2 points?
Very possible. Here's my question for you. You like the Giants in this game. Will you like the Giants if down three, the Vikings receive the ball with 3 minutes left?
No.
You'll hate it. You'll be like, you'll know.
I'll hit it with a minute left.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll hit it with 45 seconds left.
I know. That's the thing that really scares you about them. But they're one of those teams that's capable of getting down. And the Giants are not nearly as capable in that spot
of doing that. But you think about the regular season game. They were down 8, scored a touchdown late, and got the 2-point conversion.
True.
Unfortunately, left just too much time and gave up a 59-yard field goal. So that's why Giant fans feel good. This is the matchup you want. I think there are people that are confusing. This is the matchup you want. That it's a foregone conclusion you're going to win. Of all the teams you could play, even Tampa, I feel like because it's Tom Brady that you might want to face Minnesota more than really anybody else in the conference. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to definitely win the game. So, but I do like their chances.
Let's do it. Let's hear from Dabes. Okay?
Okay.
Here's Brian Daboll on the injury update.
Love Dabes.
I think everybody will practice. You know, maybe some will be more limited, but I'm encouraged where everybody's at.
Now, the big guy was asked, you have to reinforce not letting the moment be too big.
Yeah, I think it goes back to consistency and how we operate. Stay true to what we've been doing. Obviously, there's only 6 games this weekend, so we all understand that. But it's a privilege to be in the playoffs, to have an opportunity to compete. And our consistency with what we do and our process and our preparation, that's the most important.
Who's coach of the year?
Well, Dable's going to be up there.
Dable or Shanahan?
Shanahan's going to be up there.
Jaguars, Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson's going to be up there. You can't just ignore Sirianni.
But I'll tell you what. To me, it's Brian Dable. This has been incredible. Especially what we've had on this team the last few years with the different yo-yos who've come and gone.
You could say the same thing about Doug Peterson.
True, but at least you know what Doug Peterson has? With all due respect to Daniel Jones, he's Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He has he's a guy that
and
you know.
And a very winnable division.
And by the way, they did it with a putrid record against a putrid division.
Well, they were 9-8, and the Giants, they both have 9 wins.
But the Giants did it in the glorious NFC East.
Well, yeah, you have to play Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas twice. Jacksonville had to play Indianapolis twice, Tennessee twice.
And the Sisters of the
and
Poor.
And the Houston Texans twice, so. Well, but I think Dable's going to be right in the conversation. But Michael brings up a great point. I get the chance to vote for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year in the NHL. I get caught
humble
on the
brag.
Same thing.
Humble
well,
brag,
why
yeah.
can't I? Well, because it's coming from a place of I
get
to do this.
But it's a humble
no,
brag.
But how often do you get to do that as a talk show host?
You don't.
I don't get the
it's
hit.
A humble brag.
I don't get the throw. All I do is analyze things I don't do.
Right.
Now we're actually talking about Coach of the Year, something I get to do.
Does
so
Kenny
I
do
can
it?
Actually analyze
does,
it.
Does Kenny do it or he doesn't do enough games?
No, Kenny does it.
Kenny also has a vote for Coach of the Year?
Yes, he does.
Interesting.
When I was doing 15 games, I had it. You do a game.
So
you,
if I did one
I don't
one
think
period.
They would have. I don't think you wouldn't want to pay the dues off the one game.
How much do you pay?
I think it was like $30.
So you're paying $30 to get a Coach of the Year
not
vote.
To vote. No, because we're in the association.
Oh, sure.
That votes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an entry fee back
hot,
in the
hot
day.
Hot take of the 4 major sports, coach and hockey is the second least important.
What's the first?
What's the first least?
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
You can say baseball?
That's right.
Then why do managers always get blamed? Why do we have people?
Well, because coaches, coaches get blamed.
The order is, and there's no argument had, so let's just move on.
What?
Coaching importance. Number one, football.
And then,
number two, basketball. Number three, hockey. No. Number four,
here's
baseball.
Why I disagree.
Good night, good luck.
Here's why I disagree. I'm with you, but
he disagrees.
I would put it this way. It's football one, and then everybody else is like...
Fair.
You got to get in a car and drive down to them.
I agree.
Because football, it's all about placing your style. Listen, basketball, the players are kind of doing what they want half the time anyway. Hockey, you do have line combinations. There's things to do. So I would probably have it around the same as basketball.
But it does seem like with basketball, you run into a lot of the coaches who have real dynasties, are good on multiple right. teams. You know, like the Pat Rileys of the world. There are just certain guys who are really, really capable.
Well, then it's the same in hockey. But I wouldn't have said this 20, 30 years ago, but now with the analytics, I think, they're puppets.
It's sad.
But betting you back to the original point, I get caught up in overachieving. Like, I'll give coach of the year to the guy. I didn't expect them to make the playoffs. Look what they did. But why would we ignore what Philadelphia has done? I mean, they were a one seed. Like, why do we ignore the truly great seasons just because they happen to have talent, they're so far ahead of everybody else, so we scramble. Oh, look, Giants shocked, Jacksonville shocked, but why is McDermott out of the conversation in Buffalo because their team's always good? Why are they out of the conversation?
And with Philly, it's interesting too because going into the year, Andrew Gundling felt really great about the Eagles. People weren't walking around talking about the Eagles for the Super Bowl.
And remember the first press conference that Sirianni had? He couldn't, like, string together a sentence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You killed him for that. Yeah. And by the way,
everything.
And no one knew what Jalen Hurts was coming into this year.
And I'll throw another name out that you're going to laugh.
Throw it.
Well, why is Andy Reid out of the conversation? People were like, oh, the Chargers are going to win that division. Our own very own Bart Scott said the Kansas City wasn't going to make the playoffs. Remember that?
Sure.
That they were going to get challenged. All four of those teams were going to make the playoffs in that division, remember? And who comes out with the – it's a Fugazi bye because of the half game. But still, the team in the AFC with a bye is Kansas City.
Now, speaking of bye, by the way, I've been meaning to bring this up, and Don just spurred my memory. Andy Reid should win an Academy Award for his work in the State Farm commercial.
He's very good.
Oh, he's so good. Especially when the guy talks and he turns very quickly as if, wow, I'm listening now. And then he throws the pen away and said, I'll get on that. I mean, brilliant acting.
And by the way, life didn't have to, the coaching career didn't have to go this way for Andy Reid. Like, post-Philadelphia, he's now doing commercials. He's a Super Bowl champion. Like, there was a long time I did not think it was going to go this way. I do want to say, though, I also hate him. And I hate the entire team. And I'm disgusted by them, and they make me sick.
The Chiefs?
In one moment. In one moment.
Oh, the merry-go-round?
The ring around the rose. It made me want to puke.
No, stop.
Hey, Don, what movie was that in? It was in a movie like The Program or like some silly football movie where I saw that. So anyone who can remember, please tell me.
You know, you're right.
They did that. It was literally in a movie, and I remember watching it and going, they would never do that in a pro football game. Was it Any Given Sunday? Something.
It was stupid, Michael.
I
won't go as far as Peter to completely disown the team and coach, but
it made them much less likable to me.
They got a touchdown. That was called back because of a penalty, but they got a touchdown.
It's a nozzle move. He should be above. Really, they should be above that.
But they're not. No one's above that.
Apparently not.
I hate to be that guy.
You are.
And I know that I'm not as old as some people I won't name, but I felt like the old man on the lawn. I was sickened by it. And it worked, kind of. Except, A, the touchdown came back. B, there was a blown tackle. It should have been tackled immediately on the reception. It really didn't do anything. Oh, it hid Mahomes. No, you looked like a bunch of nozzles. Get it together.
So anyway, Dable was asked, do you look back on the last game against Minnesota where you came so close, or do you just look ahead?
No, I think, look, anytime you play a team for a second time, you know, Washington, Philadelphia, Dallas, you always watch the previous game. That's part of the preparation process. But we are full steam ahead on preparing, watching the games that they have played after us. We've already watched all the games before that. So it's really like playing another division team that you just played not a few weeks ago and doing everything you can to prepare the right way.
Now, Peter brought up Justin Jefferson, who, if he's not the best wide receiver, he's in the top three. And Dable talked about Jefferson.
That he's really good, but we knew that going in. So, I said this before when we played him. There's not a lot of teams that, you know, or a lot of players, a lot of teams that can just stop him. He's one of the best in the league. He's a dynamic player. He's got a lot of production. He's an exceptional route runner. He's a very tough player to defend.
And finally, he said, hey, that's not the only guy to worry about.
No, I think we just try to put a plan together that we think is best for, you know, competing against their offense. They have a lot of good players on their offense. You know, Hockenson killed us, so Cousins is an excellent quarterback. Their Cook can take it the distance. They have a lot of talented, skilled players, a good quarterback. We're going to have to play a really good, sound defensive game.
I think it's the replacements, Don.
I didn't care for that movie.
No, I think that's where the Ring Around the Rosie thing was from, though.
But remember, I said I didn't care for that movie.
Just 2 days ago.
So that tells me that it came from a movie I didn't care for. So you think I want to see it in an actual game?
See? Thank you.
Now, I'm just trying to get all... Okay.
Go ahead.
No, just seeing that there was reports that Mike LaFleur was let go. I just don't know if...
No, that was earlier. It's
Fugazi,
been,
right?
Been shot down.
Wait, it was Fugazi?
Yeah.
Really?
At this point.
Well, at this point.
At this point. Because somebody said it's Fugazi.
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of things over the last couple of days.
First of all, it was a guy in Houston, for some reason, said LaFleur
was
out.
It was Aaron Wilson, who has got like 91,000 followers, so it's not a fake account. He covers the Texans. I don't know why he would know. Jake Asham, who we know.
And Connor Hughes of SNY.
Had went with it, so I don't...
Not the first time in the last 24 hours that a major story I've seen break on Twitter from, quote, verified accounts. Everyone starts running with it because they see the blue check. And then soon I hear, no, this isn't remotely true.
Well, no, that's why I didn't rely on the blue check. I went to see...
No, but it was earlier.
Cover.
But earlier it was moving around also.
That's a shame.
Well, Connor, you shot it down. He's from SNY. He probably has a better connection than Texas.
Damn right he does.
That's the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball is $360 million. Now get this, everybody. Mega Millions is now $1.35 billion.
That's worth it. That's worth it for you to buy a ticket.
But I love these nozzles that, like, I usually don't play, but it's $1.3 billion. Like, you turn down $350 million.
It's all of a sudden, it's not worth the walk. You know what? Let's make a deal. You do the Powerball one for $360, and I'll do the $1.35
billion. No, but you either play the lottery or you don't.
No.
Why would you be motivated that now it's in the billions? Like, you wouldn't want to win $500 million. Like, it's not worth the walk to the corner store over $350 million.
You know how you could play it, though, right? You could play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help,
do it.
Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Now, before we break, I don't know if you guys saw this. I want to find it. Buck Showalter.
I love him.
Was ranked the number one most handsome major league manager by a popular beauty measurement app, notching an 8.65 beauty score.
Ridiculous.
Now, you know how I love Buck, but you're telling me Buck's better looking than Booney?
And you're telling me that either of them are in the same stratosphere as Gabe Kapler?
You know what? You just won. Drop the mic and leave.
You know.
Yeah.
We're manalizing right now. It makes Peter feel uncomfortable.
No. I've gotten used to it.
Gabe Kapler's a handsome man.
No doubt.
And he's cut.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going far.
But it is true.
Well, who else gets the good-looking check mark?
Bochy.
Rob Thompson is second of the Phillies.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not feeling that. And I like Rob, too.
But, yeah. I really don't.
The guy on the Orioles, not handsome. Hyde. Boone was 13th and Kapler was 12th. Come on.
The whole list is a joke.
What are they trying to prove here?
Well,
they're just trying to be that guy. That's what they're doing.
No. Dusty Baker was 6th. See?
Okay.
Terry Francona, 5th.
With all due respect.
When Terry Francona had hair, he was hot.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It really is dumb.
Number one's Buck. Number six is Dusty Baker. And Aaron Boone's down at 12.
13. Kapler's 12.
Okay.
So I'm interested, Anthony, because I love the losers in life, the Mr. Irrelevance. Who's 30?
Uh-oh.
Who's the ugliest?
The Royals manager, Matt Cattaro.
Wow, Matt Cattaro.
Yeah.
Cattaro. That's not fair. He just got the job.
Alex Cora, 29th.
Alex Cora's a handsome guy.
Dave Roberts, 28th.
Wow.
Bruce Bochy, 27th. Peter hates the old, so.
That's not true. I love the old.
Bochy's no oil painting. He also has a huge head.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, really?
A shame.
Hey, pot, kettle.
He has an 8.5 hat size.
What are you? 7.5.
I
am 7.5. Let's make a big bet. Get me a 7.5 hat. I'll put it on easily.
I'm 7 5/8.
And so your head's bigger than mine. Mine's just longer.
But I've got also the hair has something to do with it too. The thick, the lush hair that I have.
I don't have any hair, and I'm like 7 5/8. My head's gigantic.
Really? Yeah. You look like Beetlejuice.
But,
you gotta give a pinhead.
But they have to specially make Bochy's hat.
Like, wow!
You just can't go get a Texas Rangers hat 8.5.
Right? You need to order the Bochy.
Oh no! I've never heard of an 8.5. I've only heard of up to 8. And if you have an 8, there's something wrong with you.
Wow. You know who else
I've never seen a 7-8
head was Hideki Arabu. Gigantic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, gigantic. All right, so we've covered a lot. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take your giant phone calls, and they're going to be big. That's why I say they're giant phone calls. Coming up next right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kevin Cash, who is a really handsome guy, he's 20th. You kidding me? Respect. When Terry Francona had hair, he was hot.
Interesting.
Bochy's no oil painting. He also has a huge head.
Hey, pot, kettle.
That wasn't nice. Anyway, do you know what? It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023.
The Super Box Bonanza!
Is that right?
Yeah, we're giving away over $35,000 in cash and prizes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, including a grand prize of $2,000 and a trip to Bimini in the Bahamas. Bimini.
Wow.
Get your boxes for the big game by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg from 6 to 10 a.m., Bart and Hahn from noon to 3 p.m., and the Michael Kay Show from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Now, this year, we've made every box, every one, a super box with over 100 prizes, including Solo stoves, Beats headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. I heard the Billy Joel tickets, Peter, they're for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. I saw that he has a Valentine's Day vehicle.
So you win that, baby. You know what you got? You got yourself a beautiful gift to give to your girlfriend or boyfriend.
I was doing porn.
Nice. It's all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, an award-winning blend of fine cognac and orange liqueur, and 98.7 ESPN New York. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. I hope that somewhere during this contest, Peter, that Don gets the opportunity to read that line, the third one from the bottom, right here. I don't think he could do it. The Grand Marnier one. He's going to stumble on cognac.
Why would I stumble on cognac?
He's going to stumble on Marnier.
You can do Marnier, can't you?
Yeah, Marnier. Yeah. How? Why wouldn't I be able to do that? Well, what do you make fun of me like I'm a moron?
No, we're not making fun of you.
I don't drink, but cognac. That's
no. You could say cognac. I don't know why he thinks this about you, Don. It's
Gabe
all right.
Kapler's a handsome man, and he's cut. There you go.
I do want to say though, I also hate him.
It's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, and we've got the Knicks and the Pacers tonight. Big game.
Yep.
That's a 7 o'clock start. No, 7 o'clock after our show with the pregame. 7:30 tip off.
That's right.
And I believe that they've left out a game. Am I right?
In what sense?
Is it Nets Celtics tonight or not?
I thought so.
Oh, yeah, it is. No, isn't it tomorrow?
No, I think it's tonight.
I think it's the 12th.
It's tomorrow.
No.
Never question me ever again.
How do I question Anthony? It's so stupid from me.
I'd say easily.
So that's a couple of days off for the Nets. And when was the last time they played? Was it Sunday?
Yeah, when they played the Heat. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Don, you disappeared for a while. You still putting coins in the meter?
No, that's at 4.
So where were you for so long when you just...
I'm trying to get coffee.
Oh.
And I was talking to my boss, so I figured I was safe.
Per Ian Rappaport, the Cardinals got permission to speak with Sean Payton.
Okay.
Now, you know how I feel, Don. We've been doing this a long time together.
Mm-hmm.
About people politicking for jobs when other people have them. I love Jay Williams. Love him. Really, we text each other. He's a great guy.
Okay. And you text with Jay Williams?
Yeah, he's a good guy. I really do like
him.
Do
you consider him a friend?
Yeah, I think I do. Okay. And I think he considers me a friend.
Okay. That's a bit far.
But he went out today, said, you know, my dream job is a Georgetown basketball job. Well, Patrick Ewing has the job.
That's different. That's not politicking.
Well,
No, that's not.
But people are assuming that Patrick is going to get fired because he has not won a Big East game since he won that Big East tournament out of the blue. Has not won a Big East game.
So was it 24 asking, straight, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So they're asking him, would you be interested in the job? And the answer is Patrick Ewing has that job.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Sure, I'd be interested in it, but it's not open. You could say it's not available, but sure, I'd be interested.
You could say, listen, I've always been an admirer of the Georgetown program, but I can't want somebody's job. It's Patrick Ewing's job.
So if you said to me, Peter, would you ever be interested in doing the Tonight Show?
Right.
I'm obligated to go, well, that's Jimmy Fallon's job. I can't say, yeah, that'd be cool.
This isn't a fairy tale. That's a fairy tale.
Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
I'm more qualified to do the Tonight Show.
But
has Jay coached?
Well, neither had Patrick. Well, he was an assistant.
And how's it working out?
But you're being...
I mean, I wish him the best. And by the way, I'm sorry, did I miss something? Why is that his dream job?
I don't know. Wouldn't you think Duke would be his dream job?
I was
going
to say, if they said Duke, that we're having a conversation, I'm not that he's not capable. I'm sure if Jay's very capable if he wanted to. But I believe I'm more capable with Tonight Show. Thank you.
Interesting.
But when you're asked the question, the assumption is that when the job becomes open, would you be interested? You can't take a job that somebody already has. So when you're asked that question, is it wrong to say, oh, it'd always be my dream to coach Georgetown, but... Obviously, Patrick Ewing still has the job, but the fact that you're being asked about
it's not. Don, you're right. Michael's looking at it as if Jay just went on Twitter and tweeted, "Yo, I want the Georgetown job."
Yeah, God rest his soul, kind of what Gary Carter did when Willie Randolph had the job, right, Michael? Like he was politicking for the job.
And
before,
people ripped him.
Right, and rightly so. If you're politicking for the job, just out of nowhere, without being asked, I want to be the coach of Georgetown.
Ago, 7 hours ago, Jay wrote, so people keep asking me, so I will answer. Georgetown basketball has always been a dream job. You can't say it when somebody has a job, especially an icon like Patrick Ewing.
Why are people
And then
asking?
Roy Hibbert, you would think he's friends with Patrick.
I love Roy.
He goes, let's talk. And Jay Williams writes, I'm here, brother.
But what if what Roy wants to say is, why don't you pipe down?
He should. I might text Jay. Jay, pipe down. Somebody has a job. You have a job.
Okay, so I changed my mind a little bit about it. I've leaned closer to Michael because of the tweet.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was
written.
I thought
written
it was just talking
Twitter,
about it on the show.
Right.
It sounds a little different than if they just said it on KJM.
I bet you, if Patrick Ewing ran into Jay Williams, he'd go,
punch him right in the forehead.
What's up?
I'm with you, Peter, because the tweet, it's not like you're being asked, like, on your show or a caller asked or something like out of the blue, yeah, it'll be my dream job, whatever. But people are asking. You don't have to answer those people with a mass tweet.
But hold on, guys. I'm sorry. I'm really stupid.
Yeah.
Why are they asking him?
Because Patrick is probably going to
be
fired.
I get it. Patrick's
but why Jay Williams?
Patrick's terrible. But Jay Williams has never coached a notable team. And did not go to Georgetown. Why are people asking? If I didn't know Jay, I would say he's making that up. It would be like me going on Twitter right now and going, listen, since everyone's asking, no, I'm not collaborating with Dr. Dre. I'd love to, though. I'd love to.
Right.
Well, no one's asking. I don't understand who's really asking that.
Somebody should be asking you.
Would I be willing to collaborate with Dr. Dre?
Sure.
Sure, I would. Did you watch the Golden Globes last night?
It was unwatchable.
Really? I enjoyed what I watched.
I almost threw up in my mouth.
Why?
Because people in Hollywood are so detestable. They're so full of themselves. It's sickening.
It's not what I expected.
I need examples.
Sickening.
I
what happened?
Oh, I mean, these long, drawn-out, self-important speeches. Shut up!
Have you ever watched
It's a Golden Globe. It's not an Academy Award.
No, by the way, first of all, the Golden Globes now are... They've kind of gotten close.
No, they didn't even have a show last year because they didn't have a black person in the foreign press.
I didn't say they're not a flawed organization. I'm just saying it's a prestigious thing.
It's
Oscars and Jays.
It's a reason to get drunk.
Well, no, it's not Oscars and Jays, though, Don, because they have categories that you can't. There aren't Oscars for. A great think about it. Like the TV series and stuff, and the Emmys is a total bore. So I'd rather see the TV like comedy TV shows. Don't have a place to really be honored in a real way. Yes, the Emmys somewhat, but anyways, I enjoy the Golden Globes. But my problem is with you.
I usually love awards.
Why?
Moving away from me.
Oh, come on. The idea, Don, tell me this, Don. It doesn't sound crazy that you tuned into an award show and were annoyed at the self-congratulating and bloviating?
What did you expect?
But it's gotten to extents that I never thought it could be. These people have no self-awareness of how arrogant and egotistical they are.
I really enjoyed the speech from the kid who won for Abbott Elementary. He was short, sweet, happy, humbled.
I also didn't like Gerard Carmichael. I didn't think he was funny.
Gerard Carmichael.
Gerard, whatever.
He's
okay.
Not Gerard. By the way, I
didn't think he was that funny.
I consider him a friend, so I'd appreciate you not saying that.
Well, I didn't think he was that funny.
I do find him fun. Again, I didn't watch it. But he had a special on. I was one of the hotels on one of my trips. I just happened to stumble upon. He was like sitting. He sits down. I guess it's like a spoken word.
Yeah, he sat down during the opening
thing. It's his thing, and his stand-up's more like a spoken word than it is like an actual stand. But I find him funny.
He didn't watch the Golden Globes, but if they had a Mama's Family retrospective, he'd have been locked.
At least he would know what he's...
I had a Ranger game. I wouldn't have watched it anyway for all the reasons that you shouldn't watch it either.
You know what?
Because I don't want to live through it.
Jody and I always like to sit down and watch award shows. By the way, if you look at all the best movie lists, nobody has seen any of them.
That's not true.
If you read the list, it was in the Times the other day. If you've seen one of the 10, I'd give you a buck.
In all fairness, no one sees the movies anymore.
Right.
Elvis. Is Elvis nominated?
I don't think for an Oscar, no.
He won, though.
Yeah.
He won Best Actor.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Jimmy in Staten Island. Jim, what's up?
Listen, guys, I'm going to go into this game Sunday hoping they're going to win, thinking they're going to win.
Okay.
I'm not expecting them to win. I've seen enough Giant games this year where I've shaken my head saying, how the heck did we just win this game? So, Mike, for you to say this isn't house money, our seasons have been over since Columbus Day the last 5 years. I was just hoping for a second half of the season that would keep me interested. So unless they get blown out of the water Sunday, I am not going to be upset at all. And this worked out perfect because this is the only team in the NFC playoffs that they could actually beat. That's why everybody's jumping on their bandwagon.
But you know, Jimmy, you wouldn't be disappointed if they lose this game when Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum.
Of course I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be upset saying, oh, my God, this is house money. After what we've been through, I am loving this season, loving it.
Well, you know what? You're dead right. You're absolutely right. But yeah. I think that you're going to need a space and time at the end of the game if they lose.
I need to
You're going to be ticked off. And then after a while, it's like a death. You're going to go, you know, that wasn't too bad. They expect to see the worst team in the NFL.
I think ultimately that's going to be your feeling. Now, how you feel when the clock zeroes out, I think a lot of it depends on how the game goes. Michael, if they lose the way they lost in 97, blowing a 9-point lead with 2 minutes to go, missing the onside kick and allowing Randall Cunningham to get him a game-winning in field goal territory, you're going to be red hot.
I have to say something to what that caller said, though. Please never call this radio program and talk about the Giants and say, after what we've been through, please. I'm sorry. You won Super Bowls in 07 and 11. Come back to me, pal. You're talking to a Commanders fan. And by the way, I can't talk to a Cleveland Browns fan. A Giants fan
has no
place in the disgruntled fan conversation.
Right.
Nothing.
Especially when you share the same stadium with the Jets. Giant fans have been through it all over the last 5 years.
Five years of terrible? That happens every 5 years?
John, I bet you didn't know this stat that Anthony Greek sent me.
Yes.
The Giants have not won a playoff game in a non-Super Bowl appearance season since what year?
I'll tell you. So that would be because in 97 was no, because in 97 they lost to the Vikings
in the first round
at home. So I would have to say that was probably Vikings 93.
Wow. Right here, dap me up. 93.
He's very good.
So Rodney Hampton had a big touchdown.
2000, they played the Ravens in the Super Bowl. 2007, 2011, the Super Bowl winning years. They're 6 straight one and duns.
Wow.
Yep, 05 against the Panthers, 06 against the Eagles, 16 against the Packers.
2002 against the 49ers, the epic collapse.
97 against the Vikings.
Yep. So it's either a big run or without.
Well, if you're a law of averages guy, you say that it's time for them to lose.
So you believe in
Doom.
You believe in Doom.
I do, and I know that's anti-analytical, which makes me proud.
All right, when we come back, you're going to have a chance at a Super Box in the Super Box Bonanza 2023.
The Super Box Bonanza!
Coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go back to the phones, see what you're thinking. John in Hoboken. Johnny, what's up?
How you doing, Michael?
Great. How are you?
Okay. I've been a Giants fan since Alan Ameche crossed the goal line in 1951, so I've been watching a lot of Giant history.
Mm-hmm.
To say that everybody expects the Giants to win this weekend, I think is a little bit of an overstatement. You have Giant fans, and those fans are fanatics, obviously, think the Giants will win. And, you know, the game is even. Las Vegas, and I hate to talk about Las Vegas, but Las Vegas believes the teams are even. Mm-hmm. They got to play against a guy named Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in football. Change the game in an instant. Mm-hmm. They've been to the playoffs once in 10 years. So I saw Peter getting a little crazy with those people that said, you know, that I've been suffering with the Giants. I have been. They have one winning record in 10 years, and that was 2016. So I think if the Giants win, you have to be glorious. If the Giants lose, you have to be so satisfied with the fact that they have Brian Daboll, they have someone that finally straightened out Daniel Jones, who I thought was thrown in the garbage pail, unjustifiably, because the guy has a very strong arm, as Peter has said many times, and he is a viable quarterback, and he can improve every year from now till the end of his career if he stays with the Giants and Brian Daboll. So those are the points I'd like to make, and I would be ecstatic if they won. I wouldn't be forlorn if they lost.
I understand how fans think. I get that, and I appreciate that. That's the lifeblood of the show. But we're kind of taking it back. The certitude of Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum, the quote-unquote experts, they say the Giants are winning this game. I mean, there's no doubt in their mind they're winning the game.
So a couple of prognosticators said that. But I think your best point is Vegas has it even. I believe they're evenly matched team. They played right down to the wire in the regular season a month ago.
So if the game is even, John and Don, wouldn't you be disappointed if they lost it?
No, but I'd be disappointed, but would I be more disappointed, John, see if you follow me, is if it looked like they don't belong on the field with the Vikings. Like, that would bother me more, as if, like, was this all just fugazi to begin with? Like, if they play hard, lose on a last-second field goal to Minnesota, how can you not be proud of what this team has accomplished this year? And they just lost to a team on the road in the postseason on a last-second field goal. If they lose 42-7, and it looks like they don't even belong on the field with them, and then the Vikings next week get like destroyed, then you're going to be like, you know what, exactly what was this season? What are the New York Giants? How good a coach is Daboll in a big spot? Like, these things would at least creep into your mind. Go out there, play hard. You don't get a break. Jefferson climbs over a defensive back for a game-winning touchdown. Michael, I'm not going to be here the next day screaming about that. What an awful loss it was. But if you lose by 30 points, I think I need to see how the game unfolds.
Bother you?
And they're never really in the game?
Yeah.
That would really bother me. That would really, really bother me.
I would like to name that last caller the reasonable Giants caller of the day.
Oh, maybe of the year.
He was so – everything he said was like a grateful, solid fan with reasonable expectations.
We haven't – it's still early in the year, but 2022, we didn't have that reasonable Yankee fan call, right?
Not one.
No, that doesn't ever happen.
It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023, everybody. This year, each of the 100 qualifiers will take home huge prizes, including Solo Stoves, Beats headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. How many wins did the Giants have? 9?
Sure.
Be caller number 9 at 888-987-ESPN right now to select a box for the big game with a chance to win thousands of dollars. $35,000 in cash and prize were given away. And the grand prize final score wins a trip to Bimini, Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. All brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, and 98.7 ESPN New York. TJ in Long Beach. TJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been waiting since last night to make this call because, just to preface, I grew up on radio. Don and I are about the same age. I just love radio, and I would rather listen to Don LaGreca call a Ranger game than watch it on television. As a matter of fact, I'd like to watch the game on TV and listen to the radio, but they're not synced properly. But the reason for the call was Don's call on Heedle's tying goal in the third period, set up by an amazing play by Fox. And it wasn't just the call on the goal, it was the entire play. And Peter, if there's any way you can drop that in ENN, that would be great to hear again.
Thank you. That's a very nice phone call.
We have that call. So you liked it. Now let's let everyone enjoy it. Here it is.
Rangers warming up here with 6.5 to go. Goodrow slides a pass back out to the far wall. Fox has some room. Fox with a couple of moves on a backhand. Centers out to Vesey, and they score! It looks like Heedle's going to be the one that taps it in, and we tie at 3.
Wow. He's good.
That was a good – every goal was huge last night. It was so much fun to call that game. So much fun. Thank you for the call.
What a wonderful call that was. May have been his best.
What, the TJ or Don?
No, Don.
I don't think it was my best last night.
You had better ones last night, you arrogant snob.
Can you
believe that, Peter?
I'm kidding. That was the most arrogant thing said on this radio station in at least 2 days. Unbelievable.
I thought the Miller call was better. I enjoyed the Miller call more. I'm just going by my enjoyment of it.
Anthony, you're a connoisseur of this stuff. Was the Miller call better?
Well, first of all, the Rangers have the best radio booth in the business, bar none. It's not close.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Don, Kenny.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Dave.
Yeah.
Pete Stemkowski.
Yeah. Stemmer. We call him Stemmer.
That's right. It's unbelievable. Here's Keandre Miller's, by the way.
He's got Heedle all over him, but he spins to his
forehand.
Back out to the point for
Addison. Louder!
Addison. Back to Hartman. Passes to Bolden. Stick handles to the blue line, and then a nice reach by Vesey pokes it back out. Racing forward is Miller. Miller, breakaway. Score! Keandre Miller! It's 2-1!
Wow.
That is
so
a good,
good
one. I think
so
I like
proud
that one
to be
better.
With him.
I think I like the first one better.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
But he thinks that wasn't at his best.
There's so much.
You can't get out from under that.
Really? I can't get out from under.
No. We heard what you said.
Done. I'm done now.
No. You're not done. But
no, you said I can't get out from under. I'm done.
You have to live with the hubris that you displayed.
I know. I'm talking about the fun of the call.
Right. Okay.
I'm a hack.
No, you're not. And you know what impressed me about both of those calls? There was a lack of steppage, LOS, which is shocking.
Lack of steppage.
Yeah. Well, would you pull Dave's mic or what?
Don has his own mute button now.
if they were smart, they would give him one.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.